We'll read the first five verses. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's quite a harsh tone that Paul uses here as he writes to the church in Galatia. Whenever you pick up this particular epistle and read, you are greeted with a theme immediately. You get to know what it is that Paul is writing about. The first 17 verses are almost telling you that this is what you are expecting from this particular epistle. Paul had issues to settle with the church in Galatia. It was not a town, but it was a state. It's like Paul writing to the church in Western Australia. It's not like writing a letter to Perth, but to the whole state. And there were a number of Christians that were not living according to what had been preached before. They appear to have departed and left the gospel, left the truth that had been preached to them. And so their lives did not conform to the norms and teachings that the apostle gave them. And as you read from chapter 1, chapter 2, and you read chapter 3, you see the Apostle Paul being agitated there. He is raising his voice. He is raising his temple. And in chapter 3 here, we open the statement with this: O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? I'm sure if somebody was to tell you, and you are in the wrong, and straight up in your face and tells you, oh foolish friend, that would be a bit offensive. You will begin to wonder, what have I done wrong? What is it that this man is so strong on me about? And this is what was going on in Galatia. Paul had to raise his voice. He had to change his temple to communicate these truths. And these are the truths that we read about even today. How do we treat an individual who comes with a harsh voice as he tries to communicate something that you may not have obeyed? This person might have been warning you time and again, but there's no change, there's no transformation that is being seen. And they come up to you and raise their voices to address that problem that you are going through. And this is what Paul is addressing here. He tells these Galatian Christians that they have lost hold of the gospel and they have gone astray. Somebody has come in their midst and persuaded them to believe something which is not a gospel at all. Read with me the first chapter there. Verse 6 tells us this: I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Yes, you grasped this gospel. You came to believe in this gospel. But what has happened? You have turned away and held on to something which is not a gospel at all. He goes further saying, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That is a strong word to address Christians. Anyone who brings error in your midst, he be cursed. That is how strong Paul was communicating to the church in Galatia. But what we discover here in reading through the whole epistle here is that there are a number of times that the name gospel appears. And that is what he was trying to drive home here. Read with me again. Chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Verse 7. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. There he goes. He keeps mentioning the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Verse 23. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And that is the gospel being communicated. Chapter 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Verse 5. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He goes on. Verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all. Chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by the faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be saved, shall be blessed. Chapter 4 and verse 13. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. He goes on and on and on, mentioning this word gospel. And he's telling these Galatian Christians that, look, you believed the gospel. You received the gospel. And you started your life on this gospel. But what has happened? You have turned away from the gospel of truth. You have turned away from that which you have held on to. In other words, the life that will come out of this is that you'll be hypocrites. You will not conduct yourself according to what the scriptures teach, according to what God desires. Why? Because you have departed from the gospel. there was a tendency to lend a listening ear to impostors. Paul was all out to correct this situation. He was, in other words, telling them to guard the pulpit, to protect the pulpit, that you do not accept every Jim and Jack, whoever says, well, they are Christians, then you allow them to come and minister. And that is what elders contend for, that they may not bring in people who mislead those that are standing. Because once they are misled, they are lost. They become ineffective. They become lukewarm. They become useless before the sight of God. And so Paul uses this strong language, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Other versions would use, "Who has hypnotized you? Who has cast a spell upon you that you are behaving the way you are?" Going back to that very word of foolish Galatians, the original word used here indicates the attitude of heart as well as the quality of mind. It refers to the sinful neglect to use one's mental power to the best advantage. The same word is used in instances like what we read in Luke chapter 24. If I may turn that quickly to Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." And that is the Lord Jesus Christ preaching. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You are failing to use your faculty, your power of reasoning, the power of thinking through issues, for you to be able to bring those matters before your mind and address them. Is this true or is this false? But what have you done, you foolish Galatians? You have allowed these impostors to come amongst you and mislead you. Won't you use your mind? Think through and compare whatever is being taught from the Word of God. Weigh the matters. Use your mind. Don't follow blindly." And I believe that's the attitude that each one of us as Christians should have. We should use our mind. We should not follow blindly, or else we receive the same rebuke. "Oh, foolish brethren, who has cast a spell upon you?" That's something that was portrayed clearly to you. You are living that. And the language that Paul employs here is this, that he's telling these Galatian Christians that, look, the way Christ was explained to you, the way the gospel was preached to you, it is as though somebody has carried a placard, a huge placard, with the message that God loves you, that Jesus came to die for your sins. But what have you done? You have forgotten about that. You have laid aside all that for your own foolishness. William Hendrickson, one of the respected commentators, said this, and I quote, "The Galatians, in lending a listening ear to the arguments of the legalists, must be considered not necessarily dull, but thoughtless. Not ignorant, but senseless. Not stupid, but foolish. End of quote. And that is his interpretation, that is his comment on this particular passage. That these Galatian Christians were becoming foolish. They were not using their minds. They were a people who had suffered so much. And we read that in verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Paul was feeling with them. Look at the issue that you have gone through. Look at the scorn that has been poured upon you. Look at the things that you have lost. Some of you might have lost families because you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Because you have obeyed the gospel. Because you want to live a life that pleases God. I mean, you have suffered all that in vain. And that is a question that should linger in our minds all the time when faced with a number of issues that will cause us to go astray. Consider who you were. Consider who you are. Is that all in vain? There could be somebody who would come and dangle a promise to you that they're going to give you a high-paying job, or else you lose everything. But that job might require you to do things that go contrary to your conscience, go contrary to what God has dictated in His Word. My dear brother, my dear sister, faced with such a situation, don't accept such a job. Because that will be the means through which you'll be drawn away from God. And many Christians have found themselves in such situations where they have compromised and taken up such jobs that will cause them to slowly backslide and forget about God. Use your mind. Weigh matters. And God will open a way for you. He tells them that they have been bewitched. They have been led astray by charming misrepresentations. He sought to reason with them. Was not Christ clearly portrayed to them as crucified? Had they not received the Spirit by the hearing of faith rather than by the works of the law? Had not the one supplying them the Spirit done so through the hearing of faith? Consider all these matters. Who gave you that Spirit? Who gave you that faith? Who led you to that point where you came to confess of your sins and renounced them and believed in the dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Consider all that. Who did that to you? And the answer is obvious. It's God. Salvation belongs to God. It does not belong to anyone who is clever, who would come in a midst and lead us astray. Well, they may be good at talking and persuading. But if they are not preaching the gospel, they are imposters. They are heretics. We stay away from them. Now, the question that I might ask is, could we face similar dangers today which were faced by the Galatian Christians? I may have given an answer already on that. Might someone bewitch us through false representations? Should we not be led by calm reasoning rather than fascinating claims? We may indeed find ourselves bewitched even today. The warning is still resounding, and it has never been repealed or taken away. The same lesson the Galatians learned are the same and similar lessons that we learn today. You shouldn't distance yourself from this. That, well, it happened in Galatia. It happened those long time ago. This does not appeal or apply to us. But when you are a student of God's word, you are able to put a finger on the word of God and the other one in the world. You're able to say, well, this is what the scripture is saying. This is what we are seeing in our very present time. Things have not changed. Yes, generations have come and gone, but the gospel still remains the same. The same gospel that Paul preached is the same gospel that we hear today. Use the same Bible. So have we. They face the same issues. So do we. Many times we are able to take this to ourselves. How foolish can I be? How foolish have I become to deny my Savior, to deny my Lord? When the gospel was clearly explained to me, these issues, we have them even today. What are the dangers in all this? And what other pointers do we have from the Word of God? Jesus and John warned of false prophets that they will come among you and mislead you. Turn with me quickly to Matthew and chapter 7. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Such are ones who are coming to you. And these are the people that Paul is reminding these Galatian Christians, be wary, watch out, look out for these imposters. They have misled you. You become foolish. You are not using your mind to reason through issues. And as children of God, we should always be alert. Is this a true prophet or a false prophet? We are able to dismiss them by comparing what they are teaching to what is written in God's word. We also turn to 1 John and chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It was not only during the time of the apostles, but even today, there are false prophets. Let us watch out. Paul, not only John or our Lord Jesus, warned us about these false prophets, but Paul also warned us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. But was a timely warning. They may come in the midst. They may try to be as good as they can possibly be. You get a liking of them, and slowly but surely lead you astray. That we should watch out as God's children. He warned of some departing from the faith. He warned of being turned aside by fables, as he writes to Timothy. Peter warned of false teachers with destructive heresies, by covetousness exploiting with deceptive words. Such were warnings that were resounded. Even us today, we are being warned to watch out. Why are we called Baptists? Why don't we call ourselves a community church? Because we are community based. The word might sound well and very appealing to the community. But we want to define ourselves that we are what we are. We stand on the word of God. We are not dictated to by the community. We are here to minister the gospel to the community. We don't go out there to let the community tell us what we need to do. But it is us to lead the way and tell the community to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And next week we'll have the Easter weekend. Let us invite all sundries. Let us invite individuals that we know are not Christians. Let us challenge them to come and meet with us and hear the gospel preached. And pray that we'll have many come to faith, to believe in this true gospel. What are the dangers that we face today? We are flooded by traditions of men. Consider the Roman Catholic Church. Consider the traditions that they keep carrying on. And the Catholic Church has grown in leaps and bounds because of the traditions that they use. Not because they are true worshippers of God, not because the gospel is truly preached, but because they have introduced these traditions of men, and men are attracted to such, and there are big numbers that flock to Catholic churches because of such traditions. We are assaulted by philosophies of men. We have churches that promote humanism, secularism, postmodernism, and such vices. He says, well, these are relevant. I mean, they appeal to individuals. They meet the needs of individuals. They are embracing. They will not condemn you. They will accept you. And we have seen all this around about us. We are allured by false teachers who appeal to greed. For example, gospel of health and wealth. How many people flock to such gatherings? where they will hear this preacher of how from nothing he has built himself an empire, how the Lord has flooded him with blessings. And they're challenging individuals that they can also be the same. And if they don't make it, it's because of their faith. But look at the way they have manipulated the people that attend such congregations. They give more and more. And these men have become accepted as men of faith because they have been blessed with such wealth. We are also challenged by false doctrines denying God and Jesus Christ. Doctrines like evolution. We have seminars such as Jesus Seminar, where they will say, well, Jesus is just a person. You don't have to believe any other, but only Jesus. And they remove and tear apart the Trinity. And these are the things that we're able to see and read about. We are assailed by changing trends in churches that used to be solid and sound. It's now become easy to divorce and remarry. Same-sex marriages are being promoted. Right now, churches are in turmoil because of such. Would Paul come back again and address us? Oh, you foolish Covenant Baptist Church. Who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? Yes, you started well. You believed in the gospel. But now look at where you are. You have departed. Why? Because of compromising. Because of such vices. Oh, it's okay for man and man or woman and woman to marry. We shouldn't cause strife. We should live at peace with one another. Let's be loving and accepting. But if you have a finger on the Word of God, it tells us that such individuals will never inherit the kingdom of God. If only such men who preach and accept such vices would read this scripture time and again, the truth will come out. As you walk as a Christian, don't be foolish, but be wise. Use your mind, and God will teach you His ways. And this is what happened in Galatia. And Paul came out with a strong language and told them off, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Answer me quickly. Did you become a Christian by obeying the law? Or was the Spirit of God came to you and God gave you that faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit and now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Answer me quickly." And obviously the answer they gave, "Well, it is by hearing of faith." that we've been blessed with such. Brethren, you have heard the gospel time and again. Don't go away from it. Continue believing in the gospel. Let no one lead you astray. Remember what has been clearly portrayed, and that was Jesus crucified. Remember how one received the Spirit. It is by the hearing of faith. Never forget that our spiritual lives began in the Spirit and are going to continue in the same. Walk by the Spirit. Remember who supplied the Spirit and worked miracles. It was God and not man. And those are the lessons that Paul is driving home to the church in Galatia. Many people today have been bewitched, evidenced by the many different religions, exhibited by the rapidly changing moral standards. People are now wondering as to what will come next. You can't discipline a child by pinching them or slapping them. You have to talk through those that are adult. Is that the way you were brought up? But look at the society now. They can't control their children. More children are going out into the streets because the parents have lost control. The moral standards have gone down. Because we as children of God, we who know the gospel, have not proclaimed it. We have not tried all means to communicate the true gospel to the perishing world. Let us be at it, that even this coming weekend, we may point people to come and gather, rather than sit back, but ask them, challenge them to come and hear the gospel preached. And pray that God will transform their lives. That they will see what we see. They will come to know what we know. And experience what we have experienced. And that is the forgiveness of our sins. And walking in the Spirit. Enjoying fellowship with God. Enjoying fellowship with one another.